These words can be a difficult teaching for us to hear at this time because in these are days, often what our news headlines are stacked with are situations much like they are in our Lord's day, where it seems in many circumstances, in many places, where not our place. It seems like there are those who have taken up the chair of Moses, or we could say the chair of the apostles. They're telling us to do things, but they're not observing the things which the Lord tells. That can be a cross for us. When we see somebody in a place of authority who's not living up to the standard that we know that Christ has. What is the attitude that we shouldn't have with regard to this? The attitude that we shouldn't have is to say, well, because they're an unfit, as far as I can tell, person occupying that particular office within the church, well, then I can just disregard everything about them. That I don't have to follow their laws, I don't have to follow their teachings, I don't have to pay them even any reverence, but rather should look down upon them because they should know better and they're not doing better. Is that what our Lord teaches? Does our Lord show us to have a critical eye toward others, to judge those who are in authority, to speak bad about them, to write things down in internet posts or comment sections? Is that what our Lord is calling for us to do? He's not. And that can be a hard thing to do because we love our faith, and that's why we're here. None of us are here because we just happen to live within the parish boundaries. We make a distance to come to be here. We make a great effort to be in a place that is here. We're here because we love what God is doing here. And so when we see things that don't go so well in other places, it can cause all sorts of emotions to arise within us, and many of those can be just emotions. But our Lord challenges us. There's something about sitting in a chair. There's something about occupying an office. In the military, we have a saying that says, you respect the office even if you find it tough to respect the person occupying that office. That you pay deference to the rank that somebody has even if you find the person who occupies that rank to maybe even be a disgrace to that rank. If this is how seculars treat positions, well then how should we treat them within the church? When the office is given by God. Let's turn the knife a little bit more. Give you a passage from the Old Testament. Maybe you know it. You know, remember King David. King David, the great king, he's the one who gave us the Psalms. He's the one who's written about so much. In fact, Christ is seen as the son of David, the successor to David's line, the one who will establish David's reign forever. And maybe you can recall a time at the end of David's reign where his son, Absalom, had a bone to pick with one of his brothers. Won't give you the gory details of what happened there, but we'll just say that one of the brothers of David, rather one of the sons of David, a firstborn, went and did something that he shouldn't have done with one of his brother's sisters. And because he did that, the other brother obviously was not happy about that. So he went and avenged his sister. Absalom was that brother. And seeing that he himself had a great ambition going on within his life, what did he seek to do? He saw that there were other people who were in line for the throne above him, but he saw himself to be the most qualified. So he hosted a great feast, gathered some of his supporters together who thought that he and his countrymen were good, and so gathered them together and all in one fell swoop slaughtered a great number of the other sons of King David. And then rallied these ones together to proclaim himself as king, and then went to charge toward Jerusalem to take it from his father. David was left with a choice. What do I do? Stay here and fight, and I'm sure I could, but can I fight against my son? And to defend Jerusalem right now, how many innocents will be slaughtered because we're not entirely ready to defend for a siege? So David quickly gathers his men and say, let's give him Jerusalem. What evil he does here will be ever so slight in compared with the bloodshed that I won't be able to stop completely. I can take on Absalom better a different day. And then maybe I can prevail on my son and save his life, because I love him. So here's the story I want to tell this next scene. As David is leaving, there's one who was faithful to the king before David, Saul. And he's angry because he thinks that David did something wrong by Saul taking his place. His name is Shimei. And Shimei is a poor man, a ruddy man, and a churlish man, meaning he's not well behaved. And so as David is going away in sadness and all his men behind him, leaving Jerusalem, abandoning it so that Absalom can take it, he shouts after him and picks up stones and throws them at David and David's men and curses David and said, this is what happens to ones like you because of the evils you've done to Saul, the king before, because of the way you treated badly his servants. And on he hurls insult and insult, curse against curse to this man, King David. And finally, his standard bearer couldn't take it anymore, his right-hand man. He said, David, just give me the word. Let me strike down this dead dog, is what it says in the... Let me strike down this dead dog where he lies to stop his voice. It will but take me one thrust. I will not need a second. What does David do? He pats him on the shoulder and says, calm down. Calm down. What do we know? Maybe it was God himself who called up this Shimei to curse David because of a sin I've done in the past. And if God has called him to speak to curse David, then he's doing right. But maybe if I don't take vengeance, which I easily could do in this moment, against this man, maybe God will account that to me as a righteousness, and he will deal justly with me in compassion because I've received this blow well. David endured an evil, and because of this, God looked upon him kindly, restored the kingship back to him, and there was as little bloodshed as was necessary, though it did cost Absalom his life. Sometimes when those occupy thrones which they should not occupy, when they hold places and do not hold them well, it's not on us to make judgments upon them as to whether they should be doing it what they are doing or not. We can judge their actions, of course, but should we judge their persons? Could we say that they are a evil person? Can we judge their souls? We can't do that. What we're called to do is to call out whatever evil we see and pray for the conversion of any person who does evil. That's why our Lord speaks here within the gospel saying, because they occupy a particular seat, you do what it is that they tell you to do. Because they have an authority, and God blesses it when we respond well to authority, even when it's given by people who aren't doing well within their own lives. But he says, don't act like they do. He says, don't follow their example, because their example is going to lead them into the fiery flames of Gehenna, toward hell. But be obedient to them. Respect the office that they have. You might want to fill in there where our Lord isn't speaking about that, which is to pray for them. Because what our Lord speaks in another place, he says, bless and do not curse. Bless those who spitefully use you. There are a lot of persons maybe you can think about this time who are more in need of our prayers for their conversion, because they do occupy a high place, and because of what they're doing, it won't go well for them if they don't turn and convert their ways. But our job is merely to pray while still maintaining respect. A difficult teaching for us, I know. But just as our Lord was faithful in bringing good things upon David because he refused to deal with what was in his power with one who was cursing him, just because King David was willing to step down from a place and allow somebody else to take that who was unworthy, who had stolen that seat, and still try to show him respect throughout it all, because I didn't share that with you, but he tried every way to make sure that Absalom, his life would be preserved. So too, when you and I respect those who are in authority, because God has ordained all authority, even if those in authority are not using it well. When we respect in the same way, God will bestow upon us other blessings. And if you're looking for something to help you to be able to practice that out, that as well as everything else that our Lord speaks about here in the rest of the gospel, there's a little pamphlet in the back of the church that I'd turn you toward. It's a beautiful prayer, which I'm sure many of you already know well, which is the prayer of the Litany of Humility. We have it there for this purpose, to pray that so that we begin to recognize what it is that God has called us to in the goodness that he's prepared for us, but not to seek and strive that for that which is beyond ourselves, to occupy the place which we have, and to respect those who have a place which maybe is higher than us, at least in hierarchical authority. For our Lord says, at the conclusion of the gospel, whoever exalts himself will indeed be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And so it is God who deals out judgment, not us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.